2 weeks ago on the podcast, I recorded an episode where I described what we were looking for out of our next house. And I intended to then ask Kyle what he was looking for in a house and compare what the priorities were for each of us and see where they overlapped. We've obviously had conversations about this, but I was curious to see how each of us would describe it on our own. At the time, he was down and out, flat on his back with the flu. And I didn't even ask him because he was probably the sickest out of everyone in the family. So 2 weeks later, have you fully recovered?
Yep. Watched the Barbie movie, watched every single episode of St. Dennis Medical, and back to normal.
Okay, great. So now we can do an updated episode about what you are looking for in a house. Did you listen to that episode?
No.
Okay. Good, because I want to hear from you. So obviously, like I said, you and I are talking about what we're looking for in a home. And as we're looking at all of the two houses in our town that are for sale, comparing and trying to figure out if it would be a house that would work for us and things. But I'll just ask you the same questions that I answered for myself in that episode and see how we differ and where we're the same. So the first one is, how big of a house are you looking for?
We are looking for 4 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms minimum. I guess I've adjusted my Zillow filters to include 3-bedroom houses as well. One, because there are 2 houses available in our town, but also because typically if there's a house that has like an unfinished basement or something, those in the grand scheme of things are relatively easy to add a bedroom to. So we can get by with 3 bedrooms with how our kids are sharing and add a 4th one a little down the road.
Yeah. So we currently have 4 bedrooms technically in this house, 3 upstairs and 1 on the first floor. And we use 3 upstairs as sleeping rooms. And then the 1 that's on the first floor, we use as an office. So to me, if we would buy a 3-bedroom house, not only would it not be ideal for the sleeping arrangements as the kids get older, but then if it's a 3-bedroom house, it would have to have a dedicated office space because we couldn't use 1 of the 3 bedrooms as an office space.
That's true.
For those who don't know, Kyle works remote from home full time. So office space is a must.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids currently, we have 3 boys that are between ages 6 and 9.5, and they're all in a room together. And it works okay for now, but just trying to buy a house that we could stay in for more than a few years when they're, I don't know, 13, 14 and a half and 17 or something. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a different story than where they're at now. So I agree. 3 bedrooms could work if it has lots of other functional space that could be used for other things. 4 bedrooms would be ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next one. This is not a trick question, but I don't even know what you're going to say to this because I run all the numbers. How much do you want to spend on a house? What's our budget?
I think I would be pumped about anything that was around 300, but like 300 to 350, I think, is more realistic for what's available and what we'll be able to obtain.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I said 350 in the episode that I did. Yep. And then, so I recorded that episode a few weeks ago, and then I sent an email to our realtor just 2 or 3 days ago. And I said in the email to her under 380, just so that we could look at things that were in that range and know, and then maybe we can offer something depending on how long it's been on the market or something.
How many messages will you get? Or I guess you already shared these numbers, right? How many messages did you get with people saying,
I could never buy a house for that? Yeah, oh, none.
Was it infinity?
It was a lot.
Yeah.
I have never hidden the fact that we live in a low cost of living area. I think I say that at least twice a week. I live in a low cost of living area. Like, I front that information. The other thing is that there is an ocean and mountain tax, is what we like to call it. And I don't have the ocean. I don't have mountains. I don't have a large airport less than 3 hours away from me. I don't have a ton of options when it comes to like stores, restaurants, museums. Mm-hmm. If there's something big that we want to do, we're driving to St. Louis or Chicago to do it.
That's true.
And that's about 3 hours away. All that to say, there's give and takes of everywhere. There are big perks of where we live. There are also downsides of where we live. But that is our budget. when would you like to move? So I did share on the previous episode that our lease at this rental ends at the end of August. We're recording this in the middle of February.
I think an ideal situation would be to close in July so that we have plenty of time to not only pack and move, but also to paint or do any like small update projects before we move into our new house.
Yeah. We were just talking last night that we, not this past move, but the move before that, when we moved from a rental into the first house that we bought, that was in the spring of 2019, there was about 3 weeks where we still had the rental and had already closed on the house that we bought. And that made moving a breeze because he was working full time outside of the home, driving to work every day. We had the three boys under four, and I would just put a few boxes here or there into the minivan. I would bring them to the empty new house. They loved running around in an empty house. And I would just start to picture where would furniture go and where would these go in the kitchen cabinets. And we chose paint colors. Okay, so those kind of things I think we are pretty well aligned because we've discussed those. The place where I think we will differ is the list of must-haves and would-be nices. That I did that on the episode of like things that to me are a must-have in our next purchase, and then other things that were just like, it would be great if this. So what are a couple must-haves for you that like if we were looking at a house and it didn't have this, that would be a deal breaker to you?
I think a must-have for us is a basement of some kind. We thrive on being able to have a space for the kids to be their own space that I don't have to look at all the time because it's nasty. Yeah. Having a basement, we've had a basement every house we've lived in, but the last couple of houses that we've lived in, and that has been very nice. Mm-hmm.
Practically, we also live in a tornado area, and we just had a tornado this summer that knocked down a major tree in our... Having a basement is also a safety thing in the area that we live in.
And is very common.
Very common, yes.
It would be almost weird in our area for a house to have.
Yeah, I know other areas, the assumption is no basement. Here, it's very much the assumption that, like, would you say probably at least 95% of houses here have a basement?
Yes. And am open to finished or unfinished in the previous house that we own with the help of my dad and some other very generous friends. We very skilled friends, generous with their time and their skill.
Talents, yeah.
We finished the majority of our unfinished basement in our previous house. And that was everything from studs to electrical to HVAC. So I'm not afraid to do that again. Mm-hmm. I might hire some more help. next time if we end up going that route.
We're in a different phase of life and income bracket than when we had to fix that basement.
I think I was going to say it's a must have, but put it in the would be nice category would be an attached garage. This house and our last one.
We've never had an attached garage.
That is very true.
Mm-hmm.
The last three houses we've had have had a detached garage, and the place that we lived before that did not have it. It was like an apartment.
It was parking. Like townhouse kind of thing that just had parking spots in front of it. Yep. Yeah.
So an attached garage would be stepping up in the world for us. Mm-hmm. Where we could pull in and then
walk into the house.
That would be very nice.
We have a detached garage in the back of our backyard. And so we walk on a sidewalk through our backyard and into the back of the house. So yeah, the idea that we could pull into a garage and you just go up a couple steps and you're in the house, would feel luxurious to me for a very long time. Mm-hmm. It's not a deal breaker. I think the flip side of that is that we realize we're in our mid-30s and have never had that. And really nothing actually bad has happened. Like we've made it this far. We could continue to make it, but it would be very nice.
That's why I moved it from in my mind just now.
Yeah.
Must have, because we've never had it.
I think the must have for me takes into account the price point. So like I don't have a I must live in a house with an attached garage. It's more for me, like if I'm going to spend a lot more than we've spent before, both in the total cost and in the monthly payment, then the list of must-haves grows, because it's like these are what I would be looking for at this price point, not just, oh, I must live in a house with an attached garage. Because again, I'm 34 and have not ever lived in it as an adult. Since we got married, we have not had an attached garage. I would just like to say that the first two that you've come up with are also must-haves for me. So we're tracking our lists very well.
Wow. We communicate. I'll put in the would be nice category, having some extra land. I think there's been a couple of houses that have popped up over the last year when we haven't been looking very seriously, or we're just not in a position yet to purchase, that have come up that have been like an acre and a half or 2 acres.
Kind of thing.
And that just seems very cool.
Mm-hmm.
We're not like outdoorsy people or anything like that, but just for our kids to be able to just go outside and have the space to do whatever they like to do would be very fun.
And I think it lends itself to hospitality and having people over, or the like friends of our kids wanting to come over. And so I think that's what appeals to me, not objectively like I want a big land because I don't like to garden or those kind of things. But I think just when you have open space, who should come join me here?
Yeah, for sure.
How would you rank those two things? What you said about 4 bedrooms and space inside, in space inside versus space outside.
Yeah, I think that would just come down to price point.
Yeah.
Really. I value in my ranking, my list, value much more heavily the inside space than the outside space. The outside space would be a bonus for me.
Yeah. I heard Liz from the Carpool podcast just like within the last 2 days, her and Kelly were talking about this idea. And she said that when her and her husband, Maddie, were looking for a house, that his big mantra was, you can change absolutely everything except the lot. And that doesn't necessarily just mean the bigger, the better, but it's just like where it's located and how it's shaped and who's next to you and like all of those things. You can change everything about the house except for the lot. And I think of that one house that we recently sold that I had really been stalking on Zillow and trying to figure out in my mind if we could make it work, because it checked all of the boxes, but had one of the smallest yards I've ever seen in a very recent build. And I think of like when I heard her say that, that's what I thought of, was like, oh yeah, we could have bought that and then decided that the lot was too small and there's absolutely nothing you can do about that.
We just buy the one next door.
Okay. And then knock down the house on it. Okay. So outside space bonus.
Another inside space thing that I would probably put on my must have list, or it's real close, but it would be a master bathroom for personal reasons.
That was on my list too.
Okay.
We have shared one shower for 6 people for coming up on 2 years. It works when they're tiny and they don't smell. They don't like, just imagining that all of them need a shower every day, it would be a logistical production.
Sign up on a spreadsheet or something.
Yeah. I know people do that. Have a whiteboard on the bathroom and it's like, these are the people that shower in the morning and these are the people that shower in the night. But again, where it comes down, where it becomes a must have for me is if I'm going to spend these dollars, then it becomes a must have. Not that it is objectively a must have to live. And yeah, our oldest 3 are all boys, and I would really prefer to have a bathroom that belonged to me and you and that wasn't constantly being invaded by future teenager boys.
Yep. Now, you showed me a picture earlier this week of a kitchen that had 2 dishwashers. Did you talk about this previously?
No, I saw that after I recorded this. Okay. Let's discuss.
Let's discuss this because
I think we feel differently.
I am still baffled by it, but the picture that you showed me, on either
side. It was
side.
A follower, by the way. Hello.
Oh, hey. I didn't know that. Yep. I didn't remember that. Either side of the kitchen sink, 2 different dishwashers.
A dishwasher. Yeah. If you're standing facing their kitchen sink, there is a dishwasher immediately to your left and immediately to your right.
And they're totally separate. You can use them independently. They're not like connected or anything. Mm-hmm. And for the amount of dishes that we go through.
Kyle is the main dishwasher of our family. So he will have stronger thoughts on dishwasher location and quantity and all functionality than I will, because he's the one I unloaded and loaded the dishwasher today. But primarily, mm-hmm. you are the dishwasher.
I'm sure if you are married or you split chores with someone in your home, there's one person who loads the dishwasher and there's one person who really does their best to load the dishwasher.
Okay, here's the point of growth for me. I have learned that when I have the time, space, mental margin, I will ask him, do you want me to load the dishwasher? And the answer is often no.
I will take care of it.
But I do. So here's the thing I think that leads into this two dishwasher conversation is we run the dishwasher twice a day. So a lot of times I can do a full unload and then you'll do the same thing at night after dinner.
Yep.
And so we are a solid two loads a day. I don't think we've gotten away with one load a day for quite a while. If we do, we're backed up and it's all right over the counter. Yeah.
In the situation where we would have two dishwashers, we could have one that I would load and do it with the system, and the other one could just be the fun dishwasher, the experimental.
His and hers dishwasher. Yeah. The fun dishwasher.
Just go, just have fun with it.
Okay. If I can then come up with what mine would be.
Okay.
I loathe all of the spiky things that are in the drawers of dishwashers that force you to put things in order in like straight lines and stuff. I feel that there are very few dishes that we own that actually fit that spacing or proportion. And the act of shoving a dish in between some of those spiky things is, it's one of those things that like shouldn't annoy me as much. It's like getting hangers clumped together where they're all hooked together and you just feel physically ill trying to get it.
I don't.
I do. I have always felt physically ill when hangers get locked up. I feel that way when I try to shove dishes in. And then especially if you get one shoved in and then while you're getting the next dish, the other one flips over. That's maddening. So anyways, the fun dishwasher would have none of those.
The name has stuck.
The fun dishwasher would have none of those. It would just be an empty space and I would just toss everything. There might be gleam. But I'll have a good time. Okay, so my brain didn't go there at all to his and her what.
I'm laughing about fun dishwasher.
That's what you called it.
I know, but the fact that you then took up the and said, this is the fun dishwasher.
I am not going to deny myself the opportunity to be the fun one. Okay, in all seriousness, yay nay to a kitchen with two dishwashers.
I was really weirded out by it. And then when you shared that her, like, square footage, it was actually cheaper than it was to finish a cabinet. I thought, okay.
So the person who sent me that picture is a follower again, hello. And they built the house. So they did not buy it. They built the house. She had been designing and and approving what was happening in the kitchen and had been shown the numbers. You pay for every cabinet. And so you are choosing every individual cabinet that makes up your whole kitchen. And she was told that the space to each side of the sink, it was actually the total kitchen expense is lower with a dishwasher going there because it's just an empty space.
Now, here's the real question. Why don't you just replace all of your cabinets with
exclusively have dishwashers?
Because then you just run the dishwasher and you leave the dishes in there until you need them.
Because that's
again.
Just where they're stored. That's their home.
Yes.
There is an idea.
Yep. 10 dishwashers.
Okay. So the other.
So you agree.
I agree. That's an idea. And I don't. We are not interested in building, but if we were, I think I would genuinely explore installing two dishwashers. Mm-hmm.
I am much more open to building than you are. I know that.
This is new in real time. New. This is brand new information. Okay, tell me about that.
I brought it up a couple of times about getting a new construction loan that converts into a mortgage. And you're like,
it's been okay. Like, I heard you.
Yes. But I would be fine with that. Now, that messes pretty significantly with our, like, timeline.
Yeah, timeline would be out the window for moving in July. I have no expertise in this at all. Hey, I think it's more expensive.
It depends how big of a house you're making.
Is it not? Do you think? What's your educated guess? Trying to compare apples to apples, a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom house that you build versus a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom that's maybe 10 years old, but is already built.
I think that it would be similar, maybe slightly more expensive. The main thing that keeps nagging me every time I go down that road is the same thing that we talk about all the time when you're buying a new car versus an old car, in the sense that a new car is not necessarily safer.
Mm-hmm.
It's just untested. There's a couple of like home inspectors that I follow
mm-hmm.
The social medias, because it's just really interesting to see them go into a house mm-hmm. and find the most insane things.
Yeah.
And that's something that very common theme is that new construction is not safer construction. It can be, obviously. It is very much who you have as your builder, as your contractor who's coming in and finishing all the things.
Mm-hmm.
Because at every level of a build, there's opportunity to make it really good and opportunity to screw it up terribly and undo all the good work of people that came before you too. So there's a lot to keep in mind. And also, a new home means get to make all the decisions about every aspect of it, but then we also have to make all the decisions about every aspect of it.
So I know that I would just hate that. Think of planning our wedding. First of all, I was 20 years old, so nothing I did at 20 should be held against me. But second, there's a very long list of decisions that you have to make just simply because you're hosting a wedding. And we had a very big wedding. We had 320 people attend our wedding. And as the bride, it was like, we have to ask Carly. And I did not want to be asked those detail-oriented questions because they just didn't have a strong opinion. Not because they didn't need to be done. They needed to be chosen. But just because what the napkins looked was not going to change anything for me. I just don't have the attention to detail. So to have to sit down every couple of days and be like, do you want the doors to be paneled or flat? Do you want the knot? I want to buy a house that has a door and the trim is just there.
Yep.
And if I want to, you know, if I move in and I think, oh, this one detail bothers me, then I'll make a plan for swapping it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on. Do you have anything else that is absolutely a must have? Location. That was something I talked about.
Location, yes. I think that I would really prefer a place where I would feel good about our kids playing outside. I like to ride my bike, cycle around, and being right now where we are is like the middle of town, and anywhere that we want to go, I can get on my bike and be there mm-hmm. in 5 minutes.
It's a trade-off where we live because it's very bikeable, but it's not really walkable. We are geographically very close to a junior high and to a grade school, but just the main roads that you have to cross in order to get over to those schools could be dangerous for kids trying to get to school, walking or biking or whatever. There's a park very close to our house, but it's all the way down a main road. So our kids would have to be very old before I would be comfortable with them getting themselves there, even though it is technically close to us.
Yep. So as millennial as it might sound, walkable and bikeable
mm-hmm.
would be very nice. Other than that, I think houses that we've been excited about that have come and gone in the last few months have been in all sorts of neighborhoods and all sorts of different places. So I think that as long as it checks the boxes of the must-haves mm-hmm. and the would-be-nice lists that we've talked about already, location, honestly, is probably lower on my list for most of those things.
Okay. Okay, let's end with within the confines of our budget and what's realistically available around here, what are a couple of things where you're like, oh, it'd be so cool if the house that we bought had this?
Our last house in our bedroom, we had a little nook that I used as an office and also my home music studio. And we set up the same stuff in our current house, and I've found very few opportunities to play music in the same way that I did in our last house, just because of the space.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's directly below our kids' bedrooms.
Yes, directly, and yeah, it's not nearly as conducive mm-hmm. to playing music as our yeah. last place was. So a spot where I would not think twice about being able to just turn on my guitar amp, or I would love to be in a place where I could purchase a drum set and not feel bad about mm-hmm. annoying everybody in the house by playing. So yeah, having a spot for music, selfishly for me, but mm-hmm. then also having that stuff available for our kids to explore as they mm-hmm. get a little older, and two oldest are definitely at the age where they could start to pick up some instruments yeah. pretty easily. So I'd love a space for music.
That's why to me, like an unfinished basement can almost be more appealing than a finished one, because we could specifically finish it in a way that has that classic open family room, basement, playroom, whatever. But then you could also strategically choose a small basement area that's maybe not directly under bedrooms that you could then insulate and soundproof and have a music space. Mm. Last thing, do you have any preference or thoughts on layout?
I don't know if I even have let myself have a preference about layout, because so many different
yeah.
ones, and they each have their pros and cons. And with as few options as we have mm-hmm. in the area that we're looking,
we can't be picky.
We can't be picky about everything. And the layout of mm-hmm. a house is, to me, just, it is what it is.
Yeah. I think it matters a lot more to me than it does to you. There was a house that is currently for sale that's a split level, and that's a hard no for me, of like where you walk in and there's a small landing and then you have to either go upstairs or downstairs. And so the main living space is 6 stairs up mm-hmm. and that's a hard pass for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I've also always had to cook and bake on a surface where my head is basically against a cabinet. Like we've never had an island or anything. So an island, or even like a peninsula or something that has a little bit of counter space, being tall people and having, you know, hands and bowls and stuff under cabinets.
Is that a real term for a cabinet layout, a peninsula?
Yes. Yep. It's like a U-shape where, so if there's uppers and lowers here and uppers and lowers here with a sink, and then there's, it's like a breakfast bar where it comes out from the wall, but it doesn't have upper cabinets above it.
Okay, yeah.
And then like usually people have stools on one side yeah. and then it has lower cabinets on the other side. That's called a peninsula.
Are there other like geographic terms for kitchen things that I'm unaware of?
I think island and peninsula might be the only one.
Okay.
That I'm aware of, yes. Is there anything that you would like to wrap this up with that I have shared about that I'm looking for a house in a house that you are like, no, I differ very strongly on that?
There are things that you care strongly about that I don't care strongly about, but I don't think there's anything that you have said that I disagree
with. Like an actual opposing preference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think there's something that like I'm actively looking for that you would not want in a house.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Okay. As I said in the episode that I did by myself, we'll just have to wait and see and record an update and see how wrong we were about what we would actually find compared to what we think we're looking for.
I'm excited for that.
I am.
To listen back to this and be like, we're so young.
I know.
So naive. Fun dishwashers. Are you kidding me?
All right. And on that note, we will find out in the next 6 months or so what house we actually buy. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening to the Debt-Free Mom podcast. If you want to join me as a guest on the show, go to dfmpodcast.com. The Debt-Free Mom podcast is hosted by me, Carly Hill. Music for this episode was written by Kyle Hill. Hit subscribe wherever you're listening to join in with every new episode as we grow our confidence and contentment in our personal finances.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.